Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Hurricane Idalia might be history now for North Florida and parts of its neighboring states, but certainly not forgettable history. Recovery and rebuilding going to take time and help. WFOR-TV's Jacqueline Quinn reports.
In some places, folks are without power, and it may be like that for several more days. To help those displaced, two trucks from Feeding South Florida will be heading up to the second harvest of Big Bend in Tallahassee. The group's president and CEO talked to us about what's inside of them.
So the Aldi's boxes have canned goods as well as some cleaning supplies in them. The Seminole Tribe buckets that you guys see have about 2 weeks' worth of food.
President Biden plans to visit Florida on Saturday. Way north of there, and in fact in much of the country, the big Labor Day getaway is about to get underway.
Beautiful sunshine, pleasant temperatures, gas prices stable, meaning the Jersey Turnpike here in Ridgefield is packed. Here's Eric from Philly, headed north.
Driving to Boston, moving one daughter later today, another daughter later tomorrow, and then...
College things?
They're both grad students.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I think they're enjoying themselves.
For many on their way, it looks like a four-day, maybe even five-day weekend.
That is Odyssey New York reporter Glenn Shuck. And about those gas prices, they have been inching down slowly. The AAA's national average for a gallon of regular now $3.83. There's still a lot of legal fallout from the pro-Trump riot of January 6, 2021. Two ex-Proud Boy leaders have just gotten some of the longest prison sentences connected to it, 17 years for one, 15 for another.
Imposing the sentences, federal Judge Timothy Kelly in Washington, D.C. told the court, quote, that day broke our tradition of peacefully transferring power, which was one of the most precious things we had as Americans.
CBS's Robert Legarry. On new financial disclosure forms, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas now reports he did take three trips last year aboard a private plane owned by Republican mega donor Harlan Crow. He has had other reported contributions from Crow that went unreported in earlier years. At a Clearwater, Florida high school.
Our school officers reported that they had two victims stabbed this morning. In less than 2 minutes, a second report came out that the SROs had the suspect at gunpoint and were taking him into custody.
That suspect, a ninth grader at the school, and that was the Clearwater Police Chief Eric Gandy. Texas about to become the largest population state now with a law blocking gender-affirming care for minors. The Texas Supreme Court allowing that law to take effect Friday. Pope Francis now in Mongolia, home of one of the world's smallest and newest Catholic communities. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, SkillBridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the Leading Bargain liquid detergent.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear overnight with a low of 50. Southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. High of 85 tomorrow. Ample sunshine expected. Lows dip down to about 63. Tomorrow night, mainly cloudy skies. Warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs from the low 90s to near 100. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 62.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, I see you. Soon I will hear you. I'm calling this one a 3 for Thursday edition because I intend to offend everybody. Yes. And I bet I can get to at least 3 in the very first segment.
You're gonna try, Crudy? Man, come on.
It comes quite naturally to me.
It's harder to not offend people, Crudy. I can try that someday.
Now you're starting to hurt my feelings a little.
Happy Friday Eve to you, Crudy, Nate, working the board, our fair audience. Happy Thursday to you. Thanks for joining us.
Dom, I'd like to think of us as your afternoon delight. You know, Dom, Crute, and you, we're like a thruple.
Just the three of us? We can make it if we try?
Don't make me sing. Could be a karaoke Thursday. Dom, what are we referencing? You know, we've talked about a lot of topics through the course of our many glorious shows on the radio.
Yes.
But
yes.
I don't think we've ever yet broached the topic of the governor of the state of Wisconsin, at least the chief of staff or a governor dating a subordinate. And that's where the page 6, the headlines of Daniel Bice take us today.
You're almost giddy, Crudy. You know, this relationship you have with Bice, man, sometimes you're so critical and sometimes you're so happy.
Well, it's sort of love hate.
Yeah.
You know, I like to love them rough sometimes, Dom. Bice writes over at the Journal Sentinel, I'll correct my source. Everybody says it's nobody's business if supervisors in his office date subordinates.
No, Evers, not everyone. Evers says it.
Thank you. Evers. He says it with a little salty tang to it, doesn't he, Dom?
Yeah, you know, that's how Evers talk sometimes.
Dominic, both houses of the state legislature have strict policies prohibiting supervisors from having consensual romantic relationships with subordinates, noting the potential for legal and ethical concerns or sexual harassment claims that could be paid for by the taxpayers. And each of the University of Wisconsin campuses have detailed guidelines governing such situations, as do many corporations around the country, especially since the hashtag MeToo movement brought to light the widespread abuses of power by those in leadership positions. I would think it would be wise to prohibit romantic relationships within the chain of command, says Joshua Goodbaum, a leading employment and labor attorney based in Connecticut, who has sued many employers over failed office romances. Yeah. It's just a recipe for disaster, in my view. But this doesn't seem to be a concern in the highest office in state government. Governor Tony Evers acknowledged that his office doesn't restrict supervisors from engaging in consensual romantic relationship with staffers they oversee. Evers, a second-term Democrat, said he keeps a close eye on what's going on in his office, which has some 37 employees.
That's a weird visual.
It's a small group of people, and I monitor their performance on a regular basis. One of my jobs as governor is to monitor the performance of my staff, and I believe they're doing a good job. But a handful of Democrats have spoken to the Journal Sentinel in recent weeks to express their concerns that Maggie Gow, Evers' powerful chief of staff, don't I know it, Dom, is, from all appearances, in a longtime romantic relationship with another senior employee whom she directly supervises. And Evers refused to discuss that particular situation on Tuesday during a Greenwood Junior Senior High School in Clark County stop. I don't think it's anybody's GD business, Heaver said. That's the bottom line. Tony gets salty sometimes. I've witnessed this. I think that's part of the reason why Maggie Gow never liked me much. But anyway, sources said the relationship was creating a difficult situation, pardon me, environment, per Bice, in Heaver's office, especially because they believe no one can raise concerns to Gow about her partner. Asked about this, the governor said, "That's not accurate. It's as simple as that. No way. No way indeed, Dom."
Curdy, last week, in response to questions from the Journal Sentinel, Evers' office issued a 1,300-word response when
That's
asked
a lot of words.
If Gow was in a romantic or sexual relationship with a particular subordinate on her staff.
Isn't that a yes or no?
The statement skirted the issue of whether the pair of Evers' employees are dating. In 1,300 words, they couldn't do a one-word answer. The two staffers have lived together for at least a couple of years, according to state records. Sources close to the pair say the two are very private individuals, but that their relationship is a poorly kept secret. Our office does not comment on the marital status, religion, ancestry, sexual orientation, etc., of employees because we respect the dignity, humanity, and privacy of each member of our team. And because doing so could, in many circumstances, create legal liability, said the statement from Evers' office.
Isn't that a convenient stance to take in this particular circumstance?
That's a legal liability, potential liability either way, Crudy. The statement went on to say that the subordinate was appointed to a deputy's position at a pay of $62,000 a year in January of 2019, a position that did not report directly to Gow, but was still under her chain of command. The staffer was promoted by Evers to a top-level position that does report to Gow on November 8th of 2020 with an annual salary of $100,006.
Not bad.
The pay was boosted to $112,008 per year in January, an 80% pay increase in 4 years.
Talk about inflation, man. 80%. Raises like that.
Every state employee receives general wage adjustments as part of the state compensation plan, which is approved by the Wisconsin state legislature, that statement said. That statement did not make clear what Gow's role was in promoting the staffer, but it did say the staffer had been passed over for a promotion on three occasions and made $10,000 less than the two predecessors when recently promoted to the top level post. The staffer now makes the same salary as the previous person in the post. The office of the governor is organized, structured, and managed for the purpose and benefit of the governor meeting his needs and achieving his administration priorities, the statement said. Any potential for conflicts, harassment, or legal concerns are evaluated on an individual basis on the facts of any given situation. Further, it is the governor's expectation that staff comply with all applicable Wisconsin statutes, ethics rules, and any other policies applicable to staff in our office. Gao was asked specifically via email if she was in a romantic relationship with the staffer she supervises. She responded, "Per your last request, our office already provided on-the-record responses to your questions. We will continue to refer you to those responses," which, of course, did not answer the question, Crudy.
Well, they answered the question, none of your GD business.
Well, that was Evers.
Let me ask you, Dom, what if... Close your eyes for a minute. Just imagine.
No, Crudy, I don't like you that way. I love you, man, but I'm not in love with you.
Not even sexually. We had those nights. Yeah. On the road, Dom, we don't talk about it much. Here's what I was going to say. Now, this seems a little frivolous. And this is someone else's personal life, and it's now being discussed on the radio. But this is the highest levels of governance in the state of Wisconsin. It is the governor's chief of staff. And Maggie Gao, let me assure you, she is a powerful woman. She can certainly affect your relationship and your access to, let's say, the governor of the state of Wisconsin. And if it was Scott Walker's chief of staff dating a subordinate, we'd be talking about it.
Well, if Bice wrote an article about it, we'd be talking about it.
Well, if someone brought it to our attention through the, you know, mediums, we'd talk about it.
Consenting adults, man. Let me just throw it out there, man. My own personal thing on this, right?
What's I'm not the a fan. Part?
I don't believe in necessarily crapping where you eat. And I think these, you know, the liability and the ethics and all the, it just, it,
you
it
don't fish messy. From it the company pier down.
Most things, you know, most marriages end in divorce. You know what I mean? So the relationships, even if it's a couple of years, you know, get back to me when it's 20 or 30. You know what I mean?
So how long a relationship do most people have with their employers these days?
Ultimately, that's up to them. So I would not encourage that behavior. But that being said, I did work with my wife. We worked together at a business for many, many years. And we were dating when we first started, I believe. I'm going back a while now. And then so she was my wife at the office. Now, she reported to my brother, not directly to me, but there was that. And I just, you know, so I've been there, done that. Is it impactful? Of course, we ended up getting divorced. Did that impact people in the office? Maybe. You know what I mean? I mean, when you're surrounded by people that are your friends and your family and extended family, whatever, and there's a breakup, that everybody's impacted. You can't deny that in any organization, any friend group, whatever the case is. So that's what doing that brings into any organization. So I'm not a big fan of all that. But if the two consenting adults that were already dating a couple of years ago,
So if I understand you clearly, Dominic, from your own bad example, you have learned that let everyone try it. Get your own nose bloody, right?
You know, you figure it out yourself, man. You know,
but what from so- the what about from the employer's point of view? Shouldn't the employer care? I mean, on some level, it's the employer getting sued, man. Well, Evers should care a little more than he acts.
I was the employer, man. What do you mean? I was the employer. I was one of the owners of the company, and my wife worked there. So, yeah, I mean, that's always the risk. Whether or not you date someone in the office, yeah, sure, that can be a risk of liability, certainly. That's why a lot of companies, as mentioned in the Bice articles, companies, organizations, universities, you know, legislatures, they kind of frown upon that because ultimately most of these things don't work out. Sometimes there's love, man. You can find love. Most of the time it doesn't work out.
I found love at work, Dom. I'm married 21 years today to the beautiful Liza. Come back with us. We'll tell you all about it. More Devils Advocates. We're your afternoon delight.
I'm talking about enjoying a bowl of chicken soup with a Reuben and then making dirty Reuben love. Afternoon delight.
Thank you.
Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover. The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
We are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
You know, this one's going out to my baby, Dom. Yeah. Brick House. 21 years married to my beautiful wife. And I met her at work, through work. You know, I was in the mortgage industry once upon a time, Dom. And you just get invited to a lot of, like, Friday golf outings. They take us golfing. And I was at a golf outing, and she was there as a representative of a title company, and her boss introduces me like he's a pimp. It was so humiliating for my poor wife, now my wife. I didn't know her then. And, you know, so she gets introduced like, oh, this dude's single. Say hi to him.
Wow. Talk and about awkward workplace environments.
The worst part is, you know, it's a golf outing, meaning you get to scramble, play the best ball on each shot. But I was just covered with sand on at least one shot that day. Our best of four shots was in a sand trap. So I'm like gritty and sweaty. I mean, she was a pretty girl, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm so enthralled. I can't imagine I'd ever talk to any other woman ever. It wasn't that sort of love at first sight. You know, it had a pleasant little conversation. And eventually, started coming around. I'm like, oh, I like this girl. And I chased her for years down, like 3 years. She blew me off. Not completely. You know, she'd just show a few signs, just enough to let me know she'd care.
So you're saying I got a chance.
That's the way I felt. But, you know, we're not going to get close because, you know, I was done playing the field by then, or I felt like I was. And, you know, I was ready to settle down. Found me a good girl, wanted to get married. So when we did start dating, it was a whirlwind romance. We got engaged within 3 weeks of our first date. And we were
married. How long have you known each other at this point?
But we had known each other for years. I knew in my heart I was in love for like three years, dude.
You were chasing.
Oh, God. She said, stop trying to sell me a used car one time. I was begging you. Oh, please, baby, just date me. Date. Come on. I'm not so bad. She wouldn't have it until she would. And then it was a whirlwind romance. And we were married by the end of summer. We started dating on like the Saturday night before Mother's Day in May. Got engaged in June. On my birthday, June 12th, we were having an engagement party. One of the few parties I've ever thrown that was just a rager that you were not at, Dominic.
Oh, damn it.
And then we were married by August. Supposed to do like a destination wedding. My mother-in-law didn't want to take her then teenage boys out of school. So anyways, I'm like, why do they get to come? Isn't it our destination? But anyways, so we got married.
You married the family, man.
Taste of Madison going on here. But here's the part I bring up that long story, other than to remember, you know, what a beautiful wife I have and 21 great years. I've given her like four good ones and she's given
all
me
right,
21
well
good
done,
ones.
Yeah.
But
best years yet to come.
We effectively worked together. We were in the same industry and my wife was converting into real estate appraisals. And she was an apprentice and she went through the training and hours and hours and hours, like 100 hours of supervised work, all kinds of stuff. Well, I was a mortgage lender and I actually eventually ran a big mortgage shop. And I used to tell people, oh, I'm sleeping with the appraiser. That's my wife. You know,
I can get you that loan.
I thought, wow, what a service we are providing. We would never charge you for an appraisal. You know, I wouldn't pass on an expense to my client if the value wasn't going to make any sense. You know, if you need $300,000, your house, if it's not worth that, then you're not eligible for the loan. I would back into the number and say, is it worth that? And she would tell me before she would charge my clients, yes or no. Well, that's completely conflicted in today's real estate mortgage lending guidelines. You know, if as a mortgage lender, you're not supposed to speak to your appraiser. I was sleeping with mine. and I bragged about that to my clients, you know, sort of tongue in cheek, like, yeah, I'm sleeping with the appraiser. She's my wife. See what I can do about that value. Didn't affect the value, but it would affect whether or not I could get a straight answer. But from an outsider's perspective, complete conflict of interest. In retrospect, geez, maybe I shouldn't have used her almost exclusively to produce values for my appraisals in that I was married to her and sleeping with her. There might be some conflict there. Now, I always felt like I was successful enough that I wasn't driven purely just to get one more client or whatever the case may be, Don. And we didn't work for the same company. She was an independent, you know, agent. She had her own licensing. If she didn't do her job right, she could lose it or get sued, like many licensed professionals could. But it still seemed pretty cozy.
But not a direct.
Is it problematic? Is it problematic, though? I mean, in retrospect, I look at it and think, damn, that could be problematic.
In what regard, though?
How did I not get sued over that relationship?
She's not inflating or deflating or doing something
specific. Well, that's what we claim, but from a borrower's perspective, they go belly up, they can't pay their mortgage anymore, they're looking for someone to blame. Well, hell, the mortgage lender's in cahoots with his appraiser. They're sleeping together. I'm just saying, you know, there's some liability created, some exposure.
And that's not even within the same
corporation.
Office. Yeah. Corporation.
We didn't work together.
That's just in within an industry.
Correct. I didn't fish off my pier, but it was the pier next door because we had associated businesses. You know, I would do business with her company and we were married. And I thought nothing of it. In fact, I saw it as a feature I offered my clients. I got the best appraiser and the cutest one. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Should you date your subordinates? Well, Tony Evers, he's got his opinion. None of your GD business. Not when it's his chief of staff. But if it was Scott Walker's chief of staff, would we care? Maybe not Dom, but the rest of us. The rest of us. Dom's down for anything. He's one of those naked people. As long as he's having fun, it's all good. Come back. It's all good. More Devils.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlight, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th, from 5 until 10:30 p.m. The dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlight will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities throughout the festival's run, including a life-size light bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.org. That's joyengine.org.
It's not just about the barrels in construction. Highway projects are community investments. So do your part. Stay alert, eliminate distractions, and mind your speed. Every driver makes a difference. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again!
And a defense that just...
Down he goes!
Won't...
Intercepted, he's gone!
Stop!
Another turnover forced!
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Kids.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear overnight with a low of 50. Southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. High of 85 tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Lows dip down to about 63. Tomorrow night, mainly cloudy skies. Warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs from the low 90s to near 100. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 62.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I mean, Nate doesn't mess around. He's just all in. He's all in on this topic. 844-967-2789. The question, should you date around the office? Subordinates specifically. And apparently, Tony Evers, chief of staff, at least it's being alleged by Daniel Bice in the page six of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, his column, he's saying that Maggie Gow, the very powerful, some say the most powerful woman in the state of Wisconsin, is dating a subordinate. And while Tony, well, Evers does not specifically have a policy against this, says it's none of our GD business, well, it does apparently raise to the issue of problem when anonymous Democrats are off telling Daniel Bice, hey, they got a problem in the office because we can't complain about Maggie Gow's alleged lover, let's just call this person, unnamed in this column.
Yeah, specifically. Sources said the relationship was creating a difficult environment in Evers' office, especially because they believe no one can raise concerns to Gow about her partner. Asked about this, the governor said that's not accurate. It's simple as that. No way. And he said, Evers, he keeps a very close eye on the 37 staff members at the Capitol.
It's a lot of eyes.
It's a lot of eyes. A little bit more here. 844-967-2789. Vanessa Bones, a professor of organizational behavior at Cornell University, has written that a growing number of institutions have clamped down on office romances between supervisors and subordinates, especially in the wake of the Me Too movement. Overall, nearly 80% of human resources executives said in 2018 that their employers had a formal policy that didn't allow relationships between managers and direct reports. Universities and colleges are also taking steps to prohibit relationships between faculty and students or other similar situations. That's the case in Wisconsin. University of Wisconsin system has a formal policy aimed at ending conflicts of interest when UW employees, students, and affiliated individuals in positions of unequal power are involved in consensual, romantic, or sexual relationships. Policy notes that such relationships create an environment charged with potential or perceived conflicts of interest and possible use of academic or supervisory leverage to maintain or promote the relationship. Romantic or sexual relationships that the parties may view as consensual may still raise questions of favoritism, as well as of an exploitative abuse of trust and power. If an employee in a supervisory position begins a consensual relationship with a subordinate, the supervisor is to report the situation to the department chair or hiring official. The supervisor then must cooperate in actions taken to eliminate any actual or potential conflicts of interest to mitigate adverse effects of the other employee. If an instructor or other employee fails to meet the requirements for disclosing the relationship with a student or other employee or fails to cooperate in the actions described, such failure constitutes a violation of policy and may result in disciplinary action against the employee. As mentioned, Curdy, both houses in the legislature have even stricter prohibitions on consensual relationships. Let's see. Employment attorneys say office relationships carry legal risks. No doubt, man. Not just legal, organizational.
Can I interrupt you as much as I love you and occasionally find you sexually attractive? But here is something I want you to take note of. In the assembly, the policy, the Wisconsin State Assembly, the policy says sexual, romantic, or intimate relationships between supervisors and subordinates that appear to be consensual and welcome may still constitute sexual harassment. Well, I would point out the Speaker of the Assembly married one of his subordinates after they both divorced their respective spouses. And there are some allegations that that happened, that I wasn't there. I'm not in his bedroom with him and the missus, him and Michelle. But the allegations were, it was a hot romance at the Capitol, Dom, and he was the assembly speaker and she was a serving state assembly person. He would have committee assignments, all sorts of different things he could affect her future.
I think that's kind of a reach, man. She's an elected official. He can't get her unelected. You know what I mean? Now, certainly he still has power in that regard of being
well,
the speaker.
As
but her, that's not a direct report.
You don't think the Speaker of the Assembly has any control over the individual members of their caucus? You don't think that's a supervisory circumstance?
No, I do not think it's a supervisory.
Why do they call him boss?
No, absolutely not. Not between, you're talking about supervisors and subordinates. These are two people both elected by their constituents to the assembly. One happens to be elected by the assembly to be the head of that assembly, but that doesn't
controls
make him
the finances, controls the flow of legislation, controls committee assignments, controls staff. But no, I can see where they would have no control over another member's outcomes.
I concur that there are some things that he could control, but she is still an elected official, man. He's not her supervisor. That is not a comparison. It is not a subordinate position.
Well, the great news is they found true love. Apparently, they married each other. So, as Scott Walker would say, Molotov.
Nice. Just a little bit more than your calls, 844-967-2789. Employment attorneys said managers should be strongly discouraged from having a relationship with a subordinate because of the potential for sexual harassment claims or discrimination complaints. Pamela Plore, a lawyer with Stafford Rosenbaum firm in Milwaukee, said these relationships create the impression that workers won't land a plum assignment or receive a promotion unless they engage in a romantic relationship with the boss, and this can have a ripple effect throughout the workplace. The risks are compounded when a romantic relationship between a staffer and supervisor ends on bad terms. Oh, yeah. And it's probably most of them, more than half, certainly. As she writes, more, or as Vice writes, she said half of marriages end in divorce, and the rate is even higher for workplace romances. When things go bad, you know, people don't always act their best. People get emotional, act out in the workplace. That's a recipe for some risk for an employer. These problems can occur in small or large employers. In the past, firms like McDonald's and CNN have ousted top officials over undisclosed office romances. Crudy, here in Milwaukee, former Mayor John Norquist, I didn't know this, I mean, I wasn't paying attention back then, was forced from office and settled a sexual harassment claim with a former employee for $375,000 in 2002. The staffer contended what began as a consensual sexual relationship turned into sexual harassment when she tried to break things off. See, this is the thing.
Gets a little messy, as Rojo would say.
Right. So I guess we get the gist of all of this.
A couple of people on the text line. Jeff, our crap-talking lawyer buddy from Shorewood, says, not a good idea for someone in high places to be screwing a subordinate. Don't care if it was Wanker or Uncle Tony's. Here's another one. I guess this is some advice. I'm not quite sure. Mark from the SAC did ask, didn't Voss find love at work? Technically. Here's another one. I see Crudy coming home to his wife, playing this one out, Kurt. And then he sent me the song Love from Fiddler on the Roof. Do you love me? Do you love me? And then it kind of breaks in a song. It was an arranged marriage. Mine is a marriage of love.
Love. And finally, who is this?
What's
this
not the love here?
Goodbaum. What did Goodbaum have to say? In conclusion, if a manager came to me and said, hey, I'm really romantically interested in a subordinate of mine, I would say, then you need to decide whether you want to pursue this relationship or leave your job. And if you really, really have this firm conviction that this person who reports to you is your soulmate, then maybe you should think about trying to get that person out of your chain of command without doing anything negative to them. Trying to date someone who works for you is really awkward, really tough, fraught with risk, and most employers would not tolerate it.
Awkward way to say no to me, Dom. 844-967-2789. When I was a young man, many years ago, before I was married, in my 20s, if I didn't date in the workplace, I would have met any girls.
Well, you spent so much time there, right?
I was a slave to my job, man. I was trying to get ahead. I was trying to, you know, pay my dues out there in the world. And I had plenty of 70-hour weeks at work. I got to tell you, that office girl always looked pretty cute about 9 o'clock at night when you're trying to get that last report in. Hey, you want to go out for a drink later? Not saying it never happened.
Can't be with the one you love. Love the one you're with.
I didn't have anyone to love.
So love the one you're with.
There is something called the primacy effect, I believe it's called. Like, we love the ones we're closest to, which is a little sad. I spend as much time with you as probably any other human being, excluding my wife. And I love you, man.
I love you too, man.
844-967-2789. Love you as well, especially you from Sun Prairie, Chris. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, so I was just thinking, you know, you don't have to really be a subordinate of Voss's, you know, for him to affect you. I mean, look what he did to Doug LaFollette. You know, he moved him to like a basement room, right? Took all of his...
Could have to move you down to storage room B.
Yeah, and they took all of his duties away from him. And I mean, it was just terrible.
Sort of an abusive relationship.
Very much. Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. But I kind of agree with Dom on this, though. I mean, I really think that this is kind of like, I don't know, this is what I understood in pretty much any place I worked, that, you know, you don't do this. You know, I don't know.
But I'm not sure if that's Dom's conclusion. Dom's conclusion is I did it, and I would be okay if other people around me did it because I love the love. Am I mischaracterizing Dom?
I mean, you know, I wouldn't suggest it, you know, being in the position. Oh. You know, I had people work for me, right? And my wife was also there. But I also had people within the office that were dating each other and, you know, sleeping around. I mean, there's all that kind of stuff going on. And just stepping back from it all, I just take the opinion that, you know, consenting adults knock yourself out. Yes, the whole workplace thing can get messy, but there's so much liability and downside. You know what I mean? So that's crap where you eat, Chris. I mean, that's just kind of what it comes down to with me.
Yeah, whatever those rules were you were reading, I'm not sure where they were from, but that's more what I would be familiar with, you know, I mean, because the people I work for were really strict, and I think they should be sent to Governor Evers, because I really think that leaves a lot open in the you know, place you work. I wouldn't want to work with people that were dating. I really wouldn't. I mean, it's just a whole can.
Oh, you're you know? Spoopy. No, you're Spoopy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, that's my 2 cents anyhow.
All right, Chris. Well, we appreciate your 2 cents. Tony Evers says it's none of your GD business, though. 844-967-2789. I mean, it's all good until it's not. You know what I mean? Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
How you doing, Mark?
Doing okay, yeah. And I was actually a union steward, and that could actually cause problems in the office. There's some, you know, that it can really lead to problems if it, you know, that all over the place. But, you know, that you're all consenting adults and all
but
that.
But the heart and wants what the heart wants, Mark.
Heart wants what the heart wants. And all I'm saying is it can lead to complications because things can get messy, you know. That
but love is messy. It's always worth chasing your heart, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, is it? I'm not
or
sure
some other
is.
Appendage?
No. Sometimes, Mark, it's not worth pursuing, dude.
Right, and that's, you know, that's part of the problem there. And let's, you know, face the fact that, you know, that, you know, Robin Voss found love in the office, apparently. And apparently it was before he was actually divorced from... You know, fourth time's a charm for Robin Voss, I guess, but at least up to this point. But he's not the only one that was having relationships with subordinates in his office, because I knew some of the staff members of some of the Democratic legislatures over there. I'd go over there and talk to them, and they'd fill me in on some of the shenanigans that were going on in some of the
office gossip, man, sitting around the water cooler, who's sleeping with who. I mean, you gotta have something to talk about. I mean, how does any governing get done?
Come back with us. This is from what, Fiddler on the Roof? This one's for you, Kurt, or maybe Mrs. Crudy. I'll sing it to her later. Come back with us. I love you, audience, at 844-967-2789. But do you love the Devil's Advocates? Do you love us back?
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you call 844-967-2789.
You just love the love, Dom.
I do love the love, man.
Cameron
love
from
Love Machine.
Cameron from Nina. Welcome, sir. Hey, what do you got for us? You're a love guy. A young guy. Maybe a love guy. Who knows? Cameron, you have this problem in your life? You ever look around the workplace? See a pretty face.
There was one time, I don't even want to fully say where this happened, but there was one time where someone that I had liked, I didn't disclose it to them because I was too shy, but then they came forward and were like, yeah, I like your relative a lot. And they were an older relative too, so it's like, oh, okay. But I think in the grand scheme of things, we are forgetting that we have precedent here for this. We're forgetting the great man himself, Bill Clinton.
Oh, the whole Monica Lewinsky thing? But that was unequal. That was desperately unequal, seemingly.
Well, unequal is unequal. I mean, it's a matter of degree, but that's whole point. Yeah.
But we forgave that, didn't we, Cameron? At least most Democrats forgave Slick Willie.
I think we did. He only got in trouble because his lawyers told him, or his attorneys told him to, that, what was it? Sexual relations didn't include, fellatio. So he thought that he was telling the truth, even though it's disingenuous or disingenuous, whatever the word is. But yeah.
Well, I mean, regardless of what the extent of the sexual contact was, you know, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, once you cross the line, you cross the line, you're in that position. And certainly as the president versus, I don't even know what her role was at the time. Was she an intern? I mean, what was Lewinsky?
Monica Lewinsky. Yes. Yeah. A White House intern. Oh. But I've Cameron, thank you for your contribution, but I've seen it portrayed differently. I mean, the president of the United States, a very busy man. And he's feeling it. He comes looking out. Who's around? You know, like, because it is that proximity thing. It's the people around you. There's attraction for those you spend time with.
I mean, there's attraction for what's easy and who will say yes. I mean, and when you're able to leverage
you
your
and Joe
power
had quite
as
low
the president
standards in college.
An intern, man. I mean, that's not, I mean, we're talking about, you know, with this Maggie Gow.
He's being time efficient. He doesn't have time to go out to the clubs and meet women. He can't go dance to a little brick house.
I mean, he was married, right? He could have, you know, gone home to his wife or something, right? I mean, there are options, man. You know what I mean? One of those options would be not to leverage your power, especially as the president of the United States, to take advantage of an intern. I'm just saying, man.
No doubt. That no. Seems bad in retrospect.
When you put it like that. No, you know, generally speaking, again, you know, consenting adults, baby, go out and get your freak flag out and do what you can to get you through the night. You know what I'm saying? I'm totally down with that.
Through the night.
What, when you bring it to that power dynamic and insert it into a workplace, yeah, it gets really hairy, especially when people start getting sued for sexual harassment for millions of dollars.
You know, I just watched the Me Too movie about the Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, gross.
And at least 82 accused. Harvey Weinstein, 82 accusers came forward. So there were probably more, but 82 came forward to accuse him after the first article dropped. It was strange, you know, and Harvey was fighting it right to the last. Very powerful man. Had the ability to kill careers, even of journalists. You know, so if you write about me, you better be right. You better kill the king, because I will kill your career. And he did so. Often.
Well, as evidenced by, you know, this newspaper in Wisconsin here, Crudy, you could presumably be right and still get crushed because people play that, you know, they'll bleed you out game like Trump. If you got the resources and you're up against someone, even if they're right and you're wrong and you can just stick it to them and bleed them dry, well, that'll happen.
Dom, let's end this hour an editorial at the Cap Times. Legislators should rebuke Tomachek's assault on freedom of the press. Let's read some of this. The U.S. Supreme Court, with its landmark ruling in the 1964 New York Times versus Sullivan case, established clear protections for media outlets that are targeted by politicians who want to prevent free press from holding them to account. The court set a high bar for defamation and libel lawsuits, requiring proof of actual malice, and recognized in a historic opinion by Justice William Brennan that the United States has and must maintain, and here's from the ruling, Dom, a profound national commitment to the principle that debate on public issues should be uninhibited, always around here, robust, check, and wide open, check, 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 and that it may well include vehement, caustic, and sometimes unpleasantly sharp attacks on government and public officials. Brennan cited one of his predecessors, Louis Brandeis, who explained, "Those who won our independence believe the public discussion is a political duty and that this should be a fundamental principle of the American government. They recognize the risk to which all human institutions are subject, but they knew that order cannot be secured merely through the fear of punishment for its infraction, that it is hazardous to discourage thought, hope, and imagination, that fear breeds repression, that repression breeds hate, that hate menaces stable government, that the path of safety
lies in the opportunity to discuss freely supposed grievances and proposed remedies, and that fitting remedy for evil counsels is good ones. Believing in the power of reason as applied through public discussion, the eschewed silence coerced by law, the argument of force in its worst form, recognizing the occasional tyrannies of governing majorities, they amended the Constitution so that free speech and assembly should be guaranteed. Dom, so vital to democracy was an unfettered free press that the court determined that even in cases where statements might be defamatory or inaccurate, an elected official would have to prove that reporters and editors deliberately set out to produce a false impression, thus displaying actual malice.
I'm going to get short on time here. The Wausau Pilot and Review, a scrappy nonprofit news site that does a good job of covering Wausau and the surrounding communities in Marathon County, reported in 21 that Wisconsin Republican politician Tomczyk used an anti-gay slur against a 13-year-old boy who testified during a county board meeting during which the board was considering diversity and inclusion measures. The AP noted the widely circulated review of the legal wrangling in North Central Wisconsin. Tomczyk denied using the slur and sued the newspaper for defamation. In the course of the lawsuit, three people who were present at the meeting swore they heard him use the word in a deposition. He admitted having used the word on other occasions, the New York Times reported. A judge ultimately dismissed the case in April, saying Tomczyk had not proven the paper defamed him. Yet he's still pressing the case, launching an appeal that could bankrupt the Pilot and Review, which has already spent roughly $200,000 to defend itself.
Free speech ain't free if you can be sued out of existence. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Don't sue us. Just listen.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Have you hit the road yet?